For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. In season and out of season. You know, it would be a frightful thing to think if God only saved during Christmas season. It would be, if he was to follow to every act and move that he makes, our cyclical way in which sometimes not only is wrong, but we have these liturgy and ways in which we recognize certain things concerning him and what we know about him, or even what we believe concerning him. But then there's times when there's some measure of syncretism, meaning that there's a collaboration of what we believe and what the culture says. And sometimes if we're not careful, we can be pulled in, and they will usurp, again, what should be priority to us who are people of God. We should know better by now, again, that we don't have to wait till Christmas to worship the Christ. But nonetheless, we're not here to berate anyone, for as we said before, there's no problem if you want to have a Christmas tree and give out gifts, and certainly we want to sing songs, but of course, this should be for us biblical truth in what we sing. As we just heard that Josiah sang it, even the play that was given to us, we want to make sure that we espouse again what God is saying in his word, and that we don't kind of drift on December 31st. And amen. And then all of a sudden you pack up with the rest of, you close down, you take the tree down, the gifts. Some of y'all go back to the return window. And then life goes on. But that's not for us, saints. I mean, that happens. But see, when this time is over with, we're not packing God back up. We're taking the bulbs down, but we ain't taking the light down. Amen. And we're not taking God back to return window, because he's a God who was, is, and ever shall be. But I looked and I thought about this, and it's not, again, because you try to pick the proper songs to sing, per se, though we should, I believe that we should, as well as with another time of year, same thing with Easter, we should not, put those things aside. Because if they are hymns, if they are renditions of biblical truth, then we should be able to sing them all year round. Ain't that right? We should be able to sing them all the time if they're biblical truth, if they're things and songs, again, that speak towards what we believe as Christians. And so, having said this, some might, because we were in Luke and Matthew, they have given us accounts of the birth of Christ. Those two gospel writings, they major in the beginnings of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not the only place in the scripture that speaks to us concerning this time. And if it's none other than this very text that we looked at or spoke of just a few moments ago, the scripture says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And then it gives us a purpose. He said, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." That's the gospel. Amen. And the thing about it, again, is that this is, I don't know how many times that you would hear about, again, the Christ child being born, and you should, because he came to us. But it also is, it works with this too, because John 3:16 is not to be taken as just a classic text, and the rest of the Bible just is sides or no. This is, again, saying this speaks at the core of what we believe. And when you read again John 3, it's an appropriate text to render, to raise up during this time. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Because when he gave his son did not come as a full-grown man. No, this is also dealing with the incarnation. This is also dealing with the virgin birth. This also speaks to that, because when God sent his son did not come down and go to the cross. His son came down and was conceived, amen, and by the Holy Ghost. He was born, and that right, he was born, and then he grew up and he served God. He served, then he was crucified, then he rose again. But this verse here, this text, this would, and I don't know, you know, sometimes we get a little assistance when your Bibles are made, you know, they give you the red letter Bible. Make sure you don't make a mistake, you know. They give you, that's right, that's what I'm talking about. I said it before, I said it again. Suppose we didn't have red letters in the Bible. You should ought to know what he's talking about. Amen. Just because of the red letter, and they say that's because Jesus is talking. Well, if somebody ran out of ink, would you know who's talking? See, because we should know, and I don't know, here he's talking, and y'all know the story was leading up to this, not this story, but the account of being Nicodemus. He talks about being born again. Ain't that right? He's dealing with this, and John is giving us some narration and also some things that Christ is also saying. So not only is he quoting Christ, but he's also narrating the things that are involved concerning this encounter between Nicodemus and the Lord Jesus. But as he goes down, however, the Lord, it seems that he picks up, because in verse 10, he said, Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, or truly of truly, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. I have told you earthly things, and you believe not. How shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Now, this is key and core, particularly for John, because of this word believe. Amen. This word believe that he uses, and he's speaking about, he's talking to Nicodemus, and he's trying to get him to see why he's struggling so much when he's dealing with the issue of being born again. It's because even though Nicodemus is a master in Israel, just because he shoots his breath, he teaches other people, does not mean he understands spiritually what he's telling others. You know, you can be in that situation. You can call yourself a Bible-believing church but not believe the Bible. Yeah, just because you say you're a Bible-believing church does not mean just because you have a Bible on the pulpit. It's not what you have on the pulpit. It's what you have in your heart. And so he's talking to Nicodemus. And then Christ takes a little further. He says, I have told you these things, and you believe not. That means there's no true assent to from your heart, an understanding clearly about what I'm talking about. And I've explained this to Nicodemus, and you're still struggling. He said that no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Now, we talk about it another time, how that could be so, but it is so because of who he is. And then he reaches back to the Old Testament. He goes back to an encounter of God's people in the Old Testament and brings up to Nicodemus to try to help him out. He uses this historical account, and he says, and even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believe in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Are you with me here? Christ takes an historical account. He tried to help Nicodemus out by giving him to understand that when the people of God were back in the wilderness, God had to lift up a servant. He said, whoever lifted up and whoever looked at the servant that was lifted up, you shall live. And then watch this now. Then he gives us this clause. For God. Yes. Y'all didn't hear this. He gave us that historical rendition. Then he says now, and then he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then I looked at this again, because I see it so often, we hear it so often, we say it so often. But it's good. It's good to do that. It's good to rehearse to ourselves. I know we should be evangelistic about it, but I believe in terms of worship and encouragement and also to give us a reality check, we should also remember and remind ourselves again about what this is saying. Because in one hand, John speaks about things and he gives us and left things were left for us that we ought to remind ourselves and rehearse over and over again. He's not just evangelistically talking to those who are not saved, even though you should use this for that. But also he's speaking to us as believers who have believed. He gives us to remember again what was done for us. And then he reaches back again and says, for God so loved the world. And y'all, are y'all with me here? He gives us the magnitude of what God was doing on our behalf. And you heard it before, and I'll say it again. Is there any greater way, is there any greater magnitude that God would demonstrate how much he loves us by sending his son? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And let me say it again, that he's talking, saying all the way back to what we were talking about the last few Sundays when we begin to bring ourselves into the quote-unquote Christmas season. And then we bring out this certain text and certain accounts of Christ being born in a manger, born in a stable, Joseph and Mary carrying him through and Herod and all those kind of things. And we should remember, though, because they are biblical truth. Everything in scriptures is inspired of God. It's not something to be put aside. But then again, when I go back again, I need to remember how much he loved us and how much he loved the world.